Hey, everybody, John Putnam here. Another episode of Change for Your Dollar. Man, it is a gorgeous day here at my home studio. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. There are a couple of clouds in the sky, a little breeze. Good gracious. Yes, I want to get out for a little walk later on. I do believe I can squeeze that in today. But I just hope wherever I find you that it is a good day and you're feeling God's presence today, His pleasure, and His encouragement in your walk. Well, on a beautiful day like this, it's not hard to understand that it is springtime. It is April. And we all know when it's April and that first day of the month rolls around, it's likely you think about it or maybe even welcome each other with some good-hearted fun on April Fool's Day. I mean, punny jokes, silly stories, simple pranks, knock-knock jokes. Look, you probably have an April Fool's enthusiast in your life. And yes, I am one of those. Yeah, I have been known to pull a your shoes untied made you look when I was a kid. The old, is your refrigerator running? You better catch it. How about this one? The letters A and C were going to prank their friend, but they just letter B. I'll let that one sink in for a second. Reader's Digest says that April Fool's Day is like a huge open mic night. Millions of people go out of their way to demonstrate how unfunny they are. I love that description. All right, I got to share one more with you. Why do eggs like April Fool's Day the best? Because they love practical yolks. Yes, that was terrible, and I know you're rolling your eyes. Okay, done with the April Fool's jokes. But hey, here's the deal. What is a fool? Because we're going to be talking about what we can learn from some fools in the Bible. Dictionary.com says that a fool is a silly or stupid person, a person who lacks judgment or sense, a weak-minded or idiotic person. Wow, that is a pretty harsh description, but people like that are found around us. And oh, by the way, even in the Bible, and even in the Bible, dealing with issues and behaviors and thinking around money and wealth and assets. And regardless of the topic, sometimes it is great to learn from those who have been financially successful and learn what to do to replicate their action. Other times, we can also learn from those who have not been successful and learn what not to do. Well, today, we are learning from the latter description, a named fool in the Bible who was presented a very special opportunity, and let's just say he chose poorly. And from this story, I want to reflect on the shifts that occurred, and I want you to please pay special attention to the progression of this parable because it unfolds so powerfully. And you know that I'm a story guy. I love stories, and I love why Jesus told parables. He wanted to illustrate a point. He wanted to use a story format, and he wanted to use topics and words that his audience would understand that would accelerate or that would improve the chances to reveal and more clearly communicate what he was trying to teach. So let me share Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Okay, now, even though this is a very short parable, it is very powerful. And I believe there are four shifts that occur in this short parable that we can garner some incredible wisdom from of what not to do. Shift number one, there was a shift in his resources. There was more of an abundance this year. This guy was already rich. He had already been tilling the soil and planting the seed and reaping the harvest year over year. And remember, he had barns, plural, already. But this year he had more crops, more wealth, more assets than in year before. This initial shift created a new opportunity. He had more options than in prior years, and there was a new temptation for the rich man, a challenge of what to do with what he had, the extra that he had. And that is what started this progression and leads us into shift number two. There was a shift in his thinking. With this sudden awareness of this extra wealth, he put his mind to work on his wealth and what the wealth represented and what options it might provide. In this newfound abundance, he began to think inwardly instead of outwardly, and a change of perspective began to form, which leads us to shift number three. There was a shift in his heart, in his motives. He now was concerned with his personal well-being, but remember, he was already rich. See, it wasn't the big barns that were the problem. It was the new thinking and the motives that were driving changes in what he was considering. It was his why, his motives. They were shifting. And the progression continues to build with shift number four. Because ultimately, when the rich man's why changed, when his motive changed, it was not long before there was going to be a shift in his actions. He was going to tear down his barns, plural, and he was going to rebuild them with bigger barns to hold this new found wealth, these newfound assets, and provide for his newly desired lifestyle. Taking his eyes off of Jesus's plans and turning his attention to his own plans and well-being. This progression all started with a new opportunity, a catalyst. And that catalyst created and led to new thinking, which changed perspectives and led to new beliefs and why he was doing what he was doing, and that led to new behavior. Look, there's no doubt this was a temptation. This was a sudden burst, a sudden increase of crops, which represented assets and wealth. And remember, though, this farmer was already rich. So what do you think was the rich man's reasons? Was he just tired of working? Was it the complexity of dealing with the details of his farming? Maybe his workers were a burden. He wanted to simplify his life. He didn't want to work anymore. Whatever it may be, or maybe he just got greedy. This parable makes me think of Proverbs 30, verses 7 and 9, and I'll paraphrase. But in a nutshell, it says, don't give me too little that I might do something to dishonor you, and don't give me too much that I forget about you, God. Give me just enough so I can keep my eyes on you. Not too little, not too much, just enough. And this rich man. He was already on the upper end of enough. But let me remind you where all this started and why Jesus even told this parable. Remember at the beginning, someone from the crowd asked Jesus to tell his brother to divide his inheritance with him. Whoever was asking this question, the brother who had less, was seeing what the other brother, likely the older brother, the oldest, the firstborn brother had, and he wanted some of that. He wanted some of those assets. And Jesus responded, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." That's where all this started. And then Jesus told the story of the rich fool to illustrate the power and the progression of covetousness. It's very likely that everyone listening to this has experienced a situation like this around money and wealth, whether it's from a personal windfall or maybe it's looking at what someone else has and you wanting it. So here's my question for today. Is there something in your life right now, something someone else has, a windfall, a financial opportunity that is prompting you to look at yourself and your own plans first and what's best for you rather than putting God and His plans and what's best for His kingdom in first position? The secret to all of this is to recognize when it's happening and do something about it. And as one of my ministry friends said, as she was addressing a crowd at a ministry retreat this weekend, "I don't want to tell you what to think. I just want to give you some things to think about." That's my prayer today. I really appreciate you joining me, and please join me for next week because I'm going to be talking about how easy it is to make a foolish mistake sometimes without even realizing it. And one mistake we definitely don't want to make is to get overly caught up into the financial uncertainty vortex that is all around us these days. Just a reminder, please go to changeforyourdollar.com, click on the free resources tab, and take a look at my free mini course called Get Recession Ready and download the PDF workbook. I know it will be a blessing to you. Well, my friends, it's great being with you today. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to sharing with you next time.